I'm Jaco Voigt, the CEO of Catalytic, and this is Unbundled Boost, a series specifically created to boost businesses in South Africa by letting passionate and committed business people share their stories. In this episode, we're chatting about a girl's best friend. Yes, you thought it, diamonds. We're chatting about engagement rings, what the latest trends are in the industry, what to consider when buying one. And believe it or not, it doesn't have to be complicated, difficult, or challenging. I'm joined by Kate Shearer, founder of Bespoke by Kate. Kate, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So we always start the show by just telling us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I went and I studied at the Gemological Institute of America about 8 years ago in New York City. And I went and did my GG, which is a graduate diploma in gemology. Basically diamond grading and gem identification. And then once I got my GG, then I also did the jewelry design course. I actually spent a year in New York. After my studies, I actually went and I interned at Cartier on Fifth Ave,
okay,
which was quite an experience. And obviously, I worked in the high jewelry, so I was basically there just, helping customers, explaining to them, what jewelry was, on offer, and they had very special gemstones there. So I was, so they were naturally colored in nature. So I was explaining, I had to kind of like be the, just like educating people, which was great. So that's how I started. And obviously I was, I've always been very passionate about gemstones and diamonds and jewelry. And then I came back to South Africa and I worked in the industry for a bit. And then I decided I needed to start my own, jewelry brand, Bespoke by Kate. What I do is, source gemstones and diamonds for private clients, design, and then, we custom make up the piece. So it is a one of a kind piece, and, it is to suit obviously your style and pocket. So it's very important. Yeah. So we work with the clients and make sure that, we create a very special piece. Having that information, all the information I have on diamonds. And, it is quite a complicated thing. What I like to do is I like to sit down with my clients and then take them through step by step through a GIA certificate, which is a lab cert how the diamond is valued, which has the four C's. And then I explain to them the value factors, and then we decide. So obviously one, so it would be color, the clarity, the cut, and the carat weight. Now, they're all very important. We chat about those four C's and then decide which is the most important to the client. So whether it's carat weight, which would be size, whether it's clarity or color would be like the more white the diamond, the more rare, which means the more pricey. But you can actually get some lovely, like champagnes and cognacs now that are, a little bit lower down the color scale, so a little bit more affordable. And then also, you get fancy diamonds. So then that's when you go past the color scale. And then that's when the diamonds become more valuable, because that's when the colors are more saturated. And, it's a very interesting, industry. And then obviously the cut, which is, something that people don't really, think about, but it is actually the most important, because cut, we got round brilliant cut, which is the optimum cut. Gives you the most scintillation and fire and brilliance. And then you get your fancy shapes, which are the everything else. So your ovals, your marquees, your emerald cut, princess cut. So, the nice thing about the fancies is they kind of give you that, illusion that they could be a little bit like bigger than a round brilliant, because of just the proportions of how it's cut. So some people like to go for like an oval oval, for example, because, you know, 1 carat oval is probably going to look a little bit bigger than a 1 carat round brilliant. So there's lots of little tricks. So that's what I always love to, you know, educate my clients about.
And what determines the cut?
So the cut is basically, so you've got round brilliant and then you've got your fancy cut. So, like, I mean, round brilliant will have about 58 facets. So, and then it's the proportion and symmetry of those facets. So then you get, so with cut, you get a cut grade, okay? So obviously triple excellent cut is the one that it's a premium cut. That's what everybody wants. But that will give you excellent proportion, symmetry, overall cut. So that's triple X. So when looking for a diamond, I would say always go for triple excellent cut. So the rounds, So rounds, I would say come out on top, but the fancies are also quite lovely if you want something different.
Okay. And now, who are your typical customers? So when I sit and listen to all these various diamonds type scenarios or whatever, it sounds like it's very exclusive. It's only for the rich and famous, if I can call it that.
Well, look, I mean, if we think about it, diamonds are they are a dollar based, you know, they are dollar based commodities. So diamonds and gold. So when us in South Africa are looking to buy a diamond, we always have to convert. So when the rand is strong like it is now, then it's a good time to buy. But then again, you know, we can't control the exchange rate. So diamonds are always going to be, I guess, they are pricey. The thing is, I mean, if you think about it, they do form over, like, you know, hundreds of millions of years ago, deep down in the Earth's crust, and then they get pushed up by, pushed up by different, you know, like kimberlite pipes or whatever it may be. And then with regards to mining, they either, you know, land up in rivers and streams or the ocean, or, you know, you've got your kimberlite mining, which is when they go down. But it's quite a hectic process just to get the diamonds out of, you know, just to get them out of the ground. And then obviously they're in their rough form, so then they would then need to be polished. So that's, this is why they're so pricey.
But it sounds like it's a good investment. It's always going to, you won't easily lose money on it.
Look, I think diamond is definitely, when you're looking at gemstones, it is the number one investment stone. Without a doubt. So look, I think, and also for engagement rings, the reason why diamond has always been the number one choice is because it's a 10 on the Mohs, which is how we measure hardness. And it also has a cubic structure. So it means that it won't chip and abrade like the other gems might, because obviously the other gems will be softer than diamond, which makes it very durable and ideal for everyday wear. And also for some, a ring you can wear for a lifetime, or also pass down to, you know, family members. So that is why I think when, you know, De Beers did do that big marketing campaign back in the day, which, diamonds are a girl's best friend, you know, there was a lot of intrinsic, the reasons for it. So obviously the hardness is something. And then also its scintillation and fire and the fact that it has value. So, I mean, a lot of people, the synthetic diamond, or we would like to call it maybe it's a lab-grown diamond. So it's basically has the same, it's been around for many years. They've been using it for industrial purposes, and only recently they've started using it for gem, you know, for jewelry. And it's a fraction of the price of a natural diamond, but it does have that eco-friendly feel to it. So a lot of people like to opt for that because it does, it basically has the same chemical composition and crystal structure as its natural counterpart, but it's just grown in the lab. So you get so synthetics have become quite popular, I think, amongst the younger the youth, I would say.
Yeah, I wanted to ask now, because I'm sure the trends are changing as the younger ones come into the engagement market, if we can call it that. So how long does it take to make a synthetic diamond?
Well, it only takes a couple of weeks to make.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's pretty quick. I guess it's, you know, the only way they can really tell the difference, because obviously whenever anybody buys a diamond, they must please make sure they buy it with a lab certificate. So if they're buying a synthetic, it must also come with a certificate, like a GIA certificate that says this is a lab-grown diamond. So, you know, but you always need to have that proof or that the guarantee that it's not, you know, a piece of glass, basically. So,
And then does it have the same qualities, like you say, as a normal diamond? Is it as hard and as durable?
Yes. So it does. So it's the same. So it's exactly the same as its natural counterpart. It's just grown in a lab. So basically it will have the same. The only difference. Okay. So how they pick it up in a lab, because obviously it has to go for an extensive lab, you know, like, treatment and, you know, to, you know, under microscope and all that. And I think the only difference that they're picking up, it has less inclusions. So inclusions are the blemishes and the, so inclusions like the little fingerprints inside the diamond when it forms in nature. So it's, if there are little elements around, then, those inclusions can form inside the diamond. So that's what we have in natural diamonds. And obviously when we look at natural diamonds, you know, you don't want a diamond that has so many inclusions that you can see with a naked eye. So generally you want to look around the VS range, nothing further than SI1, because obviously then you can start getting, you know, you can start noticing the inclusions with the naked eye. So that's with natural diamonds. But I guess with the synthetics, they have far less inclusions, and the inclusions are, they're just differently, like, they're differently shaped, and so they can pick it up, you know. That's how they pick it up, yeah.
And now from a trends perspective, would you say that synthetic is becoming a lot more popular?
Well, look, I think definitely because of the price, and I think it's definitely a popular topic at the moment. So it's just that, yeah, I guess, and the only problem is that a synthetic diamond won't, you know, it doesn't have any value. So whereas when you're buying a diamond, like a natural diamond, you'll at least get your 50%, you'll at least get about half of it back if you ever did want to sell it. I'm just saying, you'd get, that's a guarantee, right? You'll get about half of the price of the diamond back. But with a synthetic, you probably won't get, you'll get zero. So there's no value in a synthetic diamond. No. It just depends what you want. I think end of the day, I would always go natural and maybe try and budget for it. If I'm, like, you know, ready to get married and I'm thinking about it, I would probably budget for it. And, you know, I do a lot of engagement rings, you know, like 1-carat, I think those are kind of like the, you know, natural diamonds that are kind of between, like, say, your 80 or 60 to 100K, that you can actually get quite a nice, you know, a nice engagement ring, you know, with a natural diamond. Obviously, but then, you know, with your synthetic, you can probably go for a much bigger size.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's obviously a much, much less price.
And then if we're talking about natural diamonds, where do they typically come from? Who's the major producers?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, nowadays, look, I mean, are we talking about, like, rough?
Yeah, where do they come from?
Look, I mean, basically, I would say, like, when you're looking at best quality naturals, we'd look at, like, you know, De Botswana, which is in Botswana. There's Canada has a great supply chain of good quality diamonds. Russia, which is a, I guess they're not, you know, nobody's wanting to buy their diamonds at the moment. So yeah, there are a few other supply chains with good quality diamonds. There was also a big mine in, it was the Argyle mine in a Rio Tinto mine back in Australia. That was quite a while ago, but basically they were pulling out like a huge quantity of diamonds, and they were, you know, it was like cognacs and champagnes. And so obviously, because, you know, we're looking at that little bit lower, like color, you know, down the color scale. So those diamonds are coming out, and obviously being, a lot of them get polished in India, because they have the biggest cutting facilities there. cutting houses, and they're also, I guess, the most affordable and most skilled. So most of the diamonds get cut there, and then they then get, you know, then they go all over the world.
Sorry, Kate. So when you talk about eco-friendly, what do people have concerns about from the eco-friendliness perspective?
Look, I think people are just worried, you know, they don't like the mining aspect of diamonds.
Okay.
And also blood diamonds, I guess. But what they've done is that actually there's a Kimberley process that has been around for quite a long time, and that all diamonds, so all the rough, will then go through this Kimberley process, and it gets polished. So there's no, it's obviously not allowing for blood diamonds. Obviously, you're always going to have a few that slip through the cracks. I mean, you can't help that, but I think about 90% of diamonds now go through that process. So you can be rest assured that it's not a blood diamond if you're buying it certified through GIA or EGL. But I guess with lab grown, you know, it doesn't have that, environmental aspect. So I think that's probably why people would, you know, want to go for that.
So as we go through these different generations, I'm not even sure where we are on now. I think it's we passed generation Z already. But we know when it comes to the world of work, they've got a different view on what they want to do and how the world works. So do you find that in this industry there's also trends that basically changes from how previous generations used to do things?
Yes, definitely. Look, I mean, I'm more of a purist. So I would like to, obviously, I like to go for, you know, a natural diamond, something that's, you know, a good quality natural diamond that I know, you know, is a, like an investment stone, basically.
Yeah.
Also then, you remember when we are buying, most people when they buy engagement rings, they don't really buy them to sell them. They buy them to keep for eternity, right? But I mean, if you were looking for an I would say definitely a good quality, like, one carat above, say, G color, above VS1 clarity, like triple excellent cut, which would be a good investment stone, obviously, if you're buying it at the right price. So, I mean, that's what I try and help my clients with, is try and cherry pick the best, you know, the best diamonds in the industry, and then make them available to them, and then they can then decide what they want. But I would say definitely the younger generation, I think they're a little bit more, I think also price sensitive. And I don't think they're too worried about quality.
Yeah.
So they're quite happy if it looks like, if it's a good, like, lookalike or simulant or, cause, you know, we also have the things like moissanite, stones like moissanites and CZs that are on the market, which are even more affordable. Also diamond simulants. I mean, the moissanite is quite popular amongst as an engagement ring because it is hard. And it is durable. It has more fire than diamond, so it is. You can pick it up. It has a bit more fire.
What does that mean? It's got a bit more color.
So yeah, when you look at it in light, it will have a bit more almost rainbow colors that come out.
Okay.
When it's in the light. So, I mean, it's very hard to pick up if you don't have a trained eye.
Yes.
But, I mean, nobody would know that it's a moissanite, except, I guess, the person who bought it and hopefully the person wearing it. But I think, you know, it's, it just depends what people want. I mean, nowadays, I mean, look, also like with the metals as well, you know, I always say for engagement rings, it's got to be platinum or it's got to be 18 karat gold. You know,
And Kate, just talk me through the design process, if you want to call it that.
Yes.
In my days, you wanted to surprise the person that you're going to get engaged to, so it was almost left to the man to decide. But I think it's a bit more. I don't think men are that great when it comes to the design scenario. So how does it typically work with your customers?
Well, this is where I come in, because I have I basically will then look, a lot of the time it's still the men making the decisions based on what their partner would like, or sometimes I think a lot of the time they have a good indication, so they'll have a she'll say, okay, this is the shape stone diamond I want, or this is the color metal I want, it's quite important to know what finger size her finger size, because you want to make sure that the ring fits. But when with regards to design, I always do try and guide them I always like to go for a classic design. I mean, you've got, you could either set it in a solitaire, which is like with corset, which is a beautiful, it's a classic, style, or it could be set with a halo, which is with like a center stone with diamonds around, which is quite nice if you're wanting to just sort of give the stone a bit more, give it a bit more sparkle. Or you could add you could bezel set it, which is when it's set in metal. So, which is also, with a couple of stones as well. So like you could do like a 3-stone or a 5-stone. So it all really depends also on your partner's, on her, personality, maybe what work she does, if she, so I always do ask those questions. I make sure I ask all the questions, and then come up with, so we do CAD renderings. So what we'll do is so once we've chosen the diamond and we've chatted about the design, then I'll do a CAD rendering. And then that is basically like a computer-generated version of the ring. So you know exactly what you're going to get. So there are no surprises. And the great thing is that they always do come out looking so much. I mean, obviously the client is so much – well, that's generally the men that are buying it. They are like totally overwhelmed by the beauty of the ring, and then I also do offer do get it valued. So I normally get it valued by a third party, and then that's all you need. So you need the valuation for insurance, and you need your GIA certificate, which is goes with with your main, your center diamond.
And how long does that process typically take? From
it can take about I would say about 3 weeks. Yeah.
Oh, it's quick.
To custom make, yeah. But it also depends on how quickly, we make a decision on the centers on choosing the right diamond, because also let's not forget that diamonds are fluid in the industry, so they don't if it's available today might not be available in 3 weeks time. So okay. I like to show clients at least 3 diamonds, and then they can kind of choose whichever one they resonate better with, because sometimes they do, people do have this sort of like attraction to it's a funny thing, but they do resonate more with certain diamonds. So it's a very exciting I think process, and obviously time in people's lives when they're getting engaged. So it's so nice to be able to offer the right information to them, so they like feel 100%, with their purchase and what they're doing, and all that, so they feel safe in the process.
And do you think that the days of the large jewelry chains, do you think that's changed a little bit?
Look, the retailers are, they're always going to, I think they're always going to be there. I mainly just have I do private consultations. But look, the retailers, what is changing is people are wanting to design their own piece of jewelry, so they're wanting something custom made, something that suits their personality. So they much rather build their own ring opposed to, just buy a ring off the shelf.
Okay, yeah.
There's a lot more of there's just more emotion that goes into it, and I think that's kind of what people want nowadays,
And they're all participation in the process.
Yes, and they want options, and also there's the internet. You can go and do your research, and you can see, how much diamonds cost. I mean, obviously, retailers do, I mean, their prices are quite high. I try to generally, I try to be more on a wholesale basis. So just to make sure that, clients are getting a good price, not being overcharged.
So this is quite a I always end the show by saying, okay, right, how do we make it real? So not that I'm planning to get engaged anytime soon. But if somebody is now listening and they want to embark on this process, what is the right place to start?
Well, I would say the best place to start is you need to pick a jeweler. And also decide on how much you want to spend. Make sure your jeweler does have credentials, that they, went to accredited school, because then obviously they're going to be selecting the diamonds for you, and you want to make sure those diamonds are of the best quality. And then also obviously working with how much you want to spend, that's important, because, with diamonds, it's quite hard to work backwards. It's quite nice, because, how long is a piece of string?
Yeah, yeah.
Because obviously with their four Cs and the different, you've got your carat weight and so different sizes and, color clarity, you need to, it's quite important to know, have an idea of a budget, because then we can work on a certain, look, I mean, I would normally say, yeah, like a nice quality diamond. I guess they would still have to start. And then also knowing her ring size, finger size is important.
Know that if you want to make the engagement a surprise?
Yeah, so look, I mean, I've had this challenge many times, and we've actually been quite on target quite a few of the times, where obviously what we do is we either use, and like, say if she wears rings, maybe take a ring that she wears on her right hand, so right hand ring finger, or a ring that she, and then I can try and figure out, because I'm so good at figuring out finger sizes these days. I just figure out what size it would be for her left side. So basically, like, if it's, say, her right hand finger, so we would take the ring, and we would get a ruler, and then put it over the ruler, and then we'd just measure the inner diameter. So basically from naught to so if it's like 15 millimeters or whatever it is. And then we got the inner diameter. And then that inner diameter can then tell me what the finger size is. And then we work from there.
Okay,
so it is a bit of a guessing game. But, I mean, obviously we need to be that's normally – and then – so the right hand is normally one size bigger than the left. It depends. Ah. If you right-handed, and if you're quite a sporty right-hander, then so your right hand will be a size bigger than your left. It's just how it works. So, yeah, I've managed to so it is a guessing game, though. And, look, if the finger size – if it doesn't fit – then customers can just bring the ring back to me, and I resize it, no problem, free of charge. Because sometimes, you don't get it right. But look, if it is a full eternity band, which is when, the diamonds go all the way around, then that is a bit harder to resize. But those are generally what people want as a wedding band. So then you kind of already know the finger size, from the engagement ring.
Okay.
It is a challenge, but I can definitely guide them with that for sure.
And then how do people get hold of you?
Okay, so people can get a hold of me. I've got a website, Bespoke by Kate, and also on Instagram and Facebook. So, and I also do private consultations. So, and yeah, I can also put send through my email address, and telephone number, whatever is easiest.
Okay, cool. So we'll share all of that later today when we publish the podcast. Kay, thank you very much. It's fascinating to speak to somebody that, number one, you can see that knows what they're talking about and that has a passion for something like this. And like you said, it's normally something that that's going to last for a very, very long time. So it's worthwhile, involving an expert in the process.
Of course. And I would be happy to assist anyone in that process. So I'm just the call away.
Okay, excellent. Okay, thank you very much.
And thanks so much for having me on the show. It was great to chat to you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Unbundled Boost, brought to you by Catalytic, a series that aims to boost business in South Africa. Remember that you can listen to all of the episodes on the Cliff Central app or website. And for added convenience, you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple's Podcast, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen. And if you want to know more about Catalytic, please visit catalytic.co.za. CliffCentral.com